This morning we're continuing on in a series that we just recently started, and it's on 1 Corinthians 13. It's talked about love, and I've kind of entitled the series, Love is the Greatest. And, so we're talking through this love chapter, and we're kind of going through each aspect of it, and we can see biblical examples and scriptural examples of each aspect. And so today we're going to talk about one of the most common destroyers of friendships or relationships. It's not anger. It's not impatience. It's not apathy. It's not unkindness. It's envy. And in this series, as we see what God has to say about love, today we're going to look at the verse in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love does not envy. Love does not envy. It's impossible to envy someone and love them at the same time. So what is envy? I think it's resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. Resenting God's goodness to others and ignoring God's goodness to me. That's what envy is. The Bible tells us real clearly that envy is behind most other sins. In fact, in James 3:16, it says this, wherever there is envy, you'll find every kind of evil. And that kind of intrigued me when I saw that verse this week. So I looked at the Bible, made a list of some of the problems that envy can cause. And we won't look at all of them this morning, but here's a few. Things that envy can cause. Anorexia. People starve themselves because they envy skinny people like me. Tom, why are you laughing? How about adultery? People envy somebody else, their spouse, so they steal them. Or bitterness. You resent people and the things that you wish you had achieved. Or complaining. Or conflict. Or dishonesty. Or exaggeration. People overstate accomplishments out of envy. Gossip. We build ourselves up and tear other people down out of envy. Hypocrisy. We kiss up to those we envy, then talk behind their back. Or insecurity or judgmentalism, manipulating. It causes us to scheme and want to get our own way. The Bible says that envy can cause murder. In fact, the very first murder that ever happened was between Cain and Abel, brothers. The very first homicide. Obsession. Envy can cause you to obsess over a thing or over an event. The Bible says that envy can make you power hungry, rude, sarcastic, spiteful, stingy, stubborn, unforgiving, ungrateful, unkind, and vain. It's not a pretty picture. The Bible says that envy can turn you into a worrier and also into a workaholic. Ecclesiastes 4:10 says this, I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy. Is it worth it? No. Nothing destroys. It can destroy families. Through sibling rivalry, it can destroy a business. It can destroy neighborhoods. It can even cause nations to go to war with each other. Simply out of envy. I'd say envy is one real destructive sin. You know, sometimes you learn what to do by looking at what not to do. And there's a parable in the Bible that Jesus told, a parable of the vineyard and the workers. It's in Matthew 20. And Jesus tells us a story of some people who did it the wrong way. They became very envious. A farmer goes out and he hires five different kinds of day workers. He starts out with the workers at the start of the day, and then he goes out four more times and hires additional workers. To the first guys, he says, I'll pay you a set wage. And so they contract for $1 a day, which was the going rate at the time. And to the other guys, he goes and he picks up for part of a day's work. And he says, I'll just pay you what's fair. And they don't even agree on an amount. So they're just trusting in his generosity to be fair. So at the end of the day, he decides to pay them in reverse. He decides, I'm just going to pay everybody the same amount. Boy, I tell you what, if they were a pro football player, they'd be mad. Even though they signed a contract. He didn't pay the people who worked all day any less. They got exactly what they had contracted for, which was $1 a day. What made them upset was the other people were given what they felt they didn't deserve. So they became very, very envious. And in this story, we learn the 5 antidotes to envy. And that's what I'd like to look at this morning. 5 things to do to get envy out of your life. The first one is, if you want to get envy out of your life, you must first stop comparing yourself to others. Mike, I was going to tell Lady Mike this. I've got all the blanks filled in on this outline up here if you need to check them out after the service. She likes to get all the blanks filled in. Comparing yourself with others is the root of all envy, and comparing was the very first mistake made by these workers. In Matthew 20, verses 9 and 10, it says, those hired last came up and were each given $1. And when those who were hired first saw that, they assumed they would get far more. In other words, they started making comparisons. Hey, look what they're getting. They didn't work a full day's work, so we're going to get more. You know, we deserve more. We ought to have more. And they started comparing. The Bible says over and over again, never compare yourself to anybody else. The Bible calls it foolish when you do. You're never to compare the way you look. You're never to compare your income. You're not to compare your intelligence. You're not to compare your kids. Not to compare your grandkids. That's a hard one. You're not to compare your husband or wife or job or anything else. The Bible says don't do that. It tells us to never compare ourselves to anybody else for a couple reasons. One, you're unique. When God created you, he made you special. There's nobody like you. He made the mold and then he broke it. I know you're thinking, boy, I'm thankful he broke it after Dale. You can't be comparable to anybody else because you're unique. And the second thing is, if you do start comparing, it's always going to lead to one of two sins, either pride or envy. When you start comparing yourself, like the way you look or the kind of car you have or the way your front lawn looks or whatever it is, you start comparing and you think either I'm doing better than them and you get full of pride, or they're doing better than me and you get full of envy. And they're both sins. So God says never, never, never compare, because it's always going to lead to either pride or envy. You know, there's a lot of times when we envy people because we don't know the whole story behind their success or what we think they've got that we don't have or ought to have. If you knew their background, or you knew the sacrifices they've made to get where they are, or if you knew the pain or their hurt, or if you knew what it cost them to get what they have, guess what? You might not want it. You know, you don't know the whole story, and that causes you to envy. Envy occurs when you really don't know people intimately. You can see people's strengths from a distance. When you come to church Sunday morning, everybody's got their Sunday morning church clothes on and their Sunday morning smile, and you think, wow. But when you, everybody looks, you can see success from a distance, but it's only when you get up close that you see their warts, their faults, their failures. That they're normal people and that they've got hang-ups and they've got problems and they have pain. And I think everybody has some hidden pain. You can't see their pain and hurt from a distance. When you see people from a distance, it's a whole lot easier to envy them. That's why this thing about celebrity worship, that's so unhealthy. A lot of people want to get next to the quote-unquote beautiful people or celebrities. They envy their lifestyle and their lives. I just hope that you guys don't get sucked into this obsession with celebrities. It's a total waste of time, and it only leads to envy. What you see and read is not the whole story. You don't know what these people are really like from the tabloid and the check stand before you check out. Even though it sounds exciting, believe me, I don't think you'd want their stuff. Let me tell you something I've learned. You can write this down. You can take it to the bank. Nobody is as cool as they appear. They may look like they've got it all together. If you get close, they don't have it all together. Nobody is as happy as they seem to be. Nobody is as carefree as they seem to be. Nobody is as satisfied with their life or as successful as they appear to be. And that constant stream of celebrities checking into the Betty Ford Clinic isn't doing it for fun. They're doing it because their lives have become unraveled. And honestly, behind the lives of celebrities, they often have more pain because they're in the glare of the spotlight. You really don't want what they have. So just suppose you were to get together with some of your friends. Just think about this. And you all put the problems that each of you have in the center of the room, in a big pile. And you look at them. At the end of the evening, you'd probably take your problems back and go home. Why? Because you don't have grace for other people's problems. So all those problems that you envy, you might not want what's behind what they've got. They may be strong in one area, but they're also weak in another. And they may have success in one area, but they may have major pain and heartache in another. Do you really want that? God has tailor-made your cross. It's just the one that's right for you. So the first antidote to dealing with envy is just get to know people. Get to know them up close and personal. Get to know them intimately. That's the power of small groups. When you get to know people closely, you don't envy them, but you can pray for them and you can love them. When you love people, you can't envy them. So have a potluck. Join us for a fellowship afterwards. A get-together. Start a small group. Get to know them. It's one of the ways to build bridges instead of barriers. Because envy isolates us. Fellowship binds us together and helps us grow and get to know each other. This problem of envy has been around since the dawn of civilization. If you want to get this envy out of your life, if you want to be a genuinely loving person, you have to stop comparing. You've got to stop comparing yourself to other people. Here's the second thing. You have to start enjoying. Start enjoying God's grace to other people. When you see God being kind, good, gracious to others, learn to enjoy it rather than resent it. You need to be happy when God is blessing somebody else. Now, this doesn't come naturally. You have to learn it. You have to learn to rejoice in other people's blessings. When God has been good to others, you need to learn to enjoy watching God do that to them. I can remember years ago when we lived in Oregon, had a nephew and a niece. And they were fairly close in age. And I can remember Christmas time. A time of giving, right? Well, before we opened gifts, you would find them under the tree and they would have all their gifts in their own pile. And then they'd start looking at the other pile and counting. Had to be even or else they'd get upset. Wait a second. She got a bigger gift than me. I could see it. It could just be a big box of nothing, but the envy would start to creep in because they thought everything should be fair. This enjoying someone else's blessing is the exact opposite of what these workers did. They went out, and the guys who worked all day, they were paid exactly what they contracted for. They weren't cheated. They just resented the other workers being given the same amount. And instead of enjoying it, the workers resented it. Here, verses 10 and 11 in Matthew 20. The workers who had been hired first thought that they would be given more than the others, but when they were given the same, they began complaining to the owner of the vineyard. And he said, "Are you envious because I am generous to them?" They resented it. They resented his generosity. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice. Last week we looked at the second half of that verse, which says, weep with those who weep. The second half of that verse is actually easier to do than the first half. It's easy to weep with those who weep. It's easy when somebody is down and they're hard up on their luck and they've had a tough time. It's easy to be sympathetic. And we talked about that last week as an element of kindness, that you share the hurts and pains and the sorrows of other people. It's much more difficult to rejoice when someone else has success. We don't handle the success of other people very well. In fact, we're threatened by it. We resent it because somehow in our minds we think the world is some big giant apple pie and it's all divided up into slices. And if somebody slice gets a little bit bigger, then that must mean my slice is going to get smaller. You're wrong if that's the way you think, because God's got all the pie filling in the world. Okay? He doesn't run out of blessings. God doesn't run out of grace. There's more than enough to go around for everybody. And because God blesses somebody else does not mean there's not enough blessing for you. He just wants to do it in different ways. He does not bless us all the same. Some have good health. Others don't. Some have good achievements. Others don't. Some have good family relationships. Others have difficult family relationships. We're all blessed in different ways, and we need to learn to rejoice in the joy of other people. The fact is, envy comes most often in the area that you're most interested in. Have you ever noticed that? And you're most likely to be talented in. For instance, athletes envy other athletes. Doctors envy other doctors. Speakers envy other speakers. Writers envy other writers. Musicians envy other musicians. I have to say, I have never been envious of a good seamstress. It's no problem. Never been envious. They can maybe sew up all kinds of incredible clothes, but I just never wanted to be a seamstress. You know, so there are areas in your life that you just don't envy because you have no interest in those areas. But if it gets a little bit close to home, if it's an area that you're interested in or have a degree of talent in or wish you did, there comes the envy. It always happens. Realtors envy other realtors. They don't envy accountants. So we tend to find those who are closest to us in our profession or in our area of interest. Brothers envy brothers, sisters envy sisters, things like that. The main thing envy does is it keeps you from entering into the joy of other people. You miss out on a whole lot of joy in life that you could be enjoying. For instance, let's say you want to get married, and you're not married right now. So every time you hear about a wedding or get a wedding invitation, instead of being happy, you get resentful. You get envious. You can't enjoy it. Or let's say you want to have a baby, but you're not having a baby. So every time you hear about a baby being born, you don't enjoy that. You don't rejoice. You don't rejoice with those who rejoice. You get envious. Or maybe you want a promotion, and somebody else in your company gets promoted. You don't rejoice over that promotion. You don't say, congratulations, good for you. No, you're thinking, why not me? I work harder than him. I'm smarter than them. Or somebody gets a windfall and they get a big inheritance and you think, how come I wasn't born into a rich family? You know, I have a poor family. I'm not getting any inheritance. As a result, you don't enjoy much that goes on in the world. You could be a pretty miserable person. If the only time you're happy is when good things happen to you, you're not going to be happy that much because happy things don't happen to you all the time. I can remember when my brother from another mother, Robert, got a brand new Goldwing given to him. And I could have been envious. I wasn't. I was happy. Now, he said, I actually babysat it in my garage for a couple days. He has a name for it, Susie or something. I can't remember. But I did not write it. I told him. He says I could write it. I did not. I don't even know if I started it up, Robert. because I didn't want to become envious, okay? We need to rejoice. We need to rejoice. You know, the fact is that I know a little bit because he's my brother, but many people could look at that and be envious, but they don't know the hours and hours of work that he has done. And it was just a gift because of that. Envy is a choice. I can choose to rejoice, or I can choose to resent. Those are the options. The good news is, if you learn to rejoice at God's goodness to others, you'll have a lot more to be happy about. Here's a third antidote to envy. Be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you have. Instead of focusing so much on what you don't have and what didn't happen, be grateful for what you do have. This has to be learned. It doesn't come naturally to me, probably not to most of us. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I have learned to be content." So contentment is a learning process. So instead of complaining like these workers did about what wasn't happening, what they didn't get, you learn to realize that you'd have nothing without God, without his goodness and what he's given to you. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 4:7-8, it says, "Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God?" So what's the point of all this comparing and competing? You already have all you need. You know, envy is based on a myth. The myth is, I have to have more to be happy. I have to have something that I don't have now in order to be happy. And you get caught up in this myth and focused on everyone else. Envy always looks at others and asks, why them? You know, why? What did they do to deserve it? I deserve what they have. If only we could be grateful for what we have, we could begin to solve those feelings of envy. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 6:9, it is better to be satisfied with what you have than always to be wanting something else. You know, when truth be known, I already have much more than I deserve. I've been blessed. Envy is not having a desire or a dream or a goal. It's important to understand, I'm not talking about having a desire, dream, or goal. That's okay. It's good to have those. That's not envy. Envy is not wanting something, looking forward to something, or hoping that something can happen in your life, or even wondering if you should have something. Envy is instead resenting somebody who already has what you desire. Or is what envy is. Envy says, I can't be happy until I get that desire or dream or goal. Envy is not being grateful for what you already have. The fourth antidote to envy is this: to trust God when life seems unfair. For this one, life is so unfair. I can remember my daughter when she was young. Things were unfair, and I would say, being sympathetic, let's call the wambulance. Well, not a very sympathetic father, am I? When it looks like God's blessing somebody in a way that he's not blessing you, you just need to relax and trust God. You need to believe that he knows what's going on. He knows what's best. Even when you can't see it, you need to trust him when life seems unfair. One of the signs of envy, the way that you can tell it's creeping into your life, is the language you use. If you find yourself starting to use phrases like, it's not fair, you've already fallen into the trap of envy. It's not fair. Why them? Why not me? I've worked harder than they have. I'm a committed Christian. And then you start getting into legalism. You know, it's maybe if I just worked more, then God would bless me. Or maybe if I just went to church 15 minutes early on Sunday, God would bless me. No, that's not it at all. You need to trust God that he knows exactly what each individual life needs. He knows the hurt. He knows the pain. He knows the blessing that each life can handle. And you need to trust God in that. In this story of the vineyard that Jesus told, the workers felt like they were being treated unfairly. Not because they weren't paid what they were promised, because they were. They got exactly what they were promised, but that other people were paid the same amount when they thought, well, we're better. We worked a full day. Notice verse 12. These last workers have put in only one easy hour, and yet you have made them equal to us. Can you hear the envy in that statement? We're better than them. We who slaved all day under a scorching sun. This must have been in Phoenix. Notice the owner's reply in the next verse. And by the way, the owner represents God in this story. Friends, I didn't cheat you. I paid you exactly what we agreed on. What business is it of yours if I want to pay them the same that I paid you? Don't I have the right to do whatever I want to do with my own money? The bottom line of envy is this. When you're envious, you're in a battle with God. Your problem really isn't with the person you envy. Your problem at a deeper level is with God. You're doubting God's goodness in your life. You resent God's decision to bless somebody else. In that resentment, what you're doing is you're accusing God of being unfair. You don't think God has your best interest at heart. You think God loves somebody else more than he loves you. That God is playing favorites, and you accuse him of that. You start building an entire case against God. God loves you as much as he loves anybody else. He does not love anybody else more than he loves you, because he loves all of us unconditionally. It's not like I can love them but not love you, no. God has a good reason why I don't have what I want when I'm being envious. Do you think God is duty-bound to give you everything that you want? You know, God's not a slot machine. He's not a vending machine. He's not a genie. You put in a little prayer and you get whatever you want. You serve God. He doesn't serve you. God has a good reason why I don't have the things in my life that I think I ought to have. Because he knows me better than I even know myself. So I need to relax. I need to trust God. And I need to say, God, you have a unique plan for my life, and I'm just going to trust you in this. The problem that happens in envy is you have forgotten how much God loves you. When you're envious, you've got in your mind, maybe he loves somebody else more than he loves me. No, you're wrong if that's what you think. You've forgotten how much he loves you, how much he has a plan that is just perfect for you, and how life isn't about things anyway. It's not about material possessions. Envy is the fever. Doubting God is the infection. And any time you start envying, it's because you're doubting God. So you need to fall in love with Jesus Christ again. You need to trust God and trust in his love when life seems unfair. And here's the fifth antidote to envy. Keep focused on God's plan for you. Keeping focused on the plan that God has for your life. Don't get distracted by what's going on in other people's lives. God knows our flesh. He knows our faults. And he is a... But so does Satan. And Satan wants to distract us. In fact, he's a master distractor. He loves it when we get distracted from getting... from keeping God out as, keeping him as the center of our focus. From centering in on God's will for our lives. There's a simple phrase in this story that the owner says to those who are grumbling and griping and who didn't get what they deserved. He said, take your money now and go. Take your money now and go. He's basically saying to those who are complaining, who can't get past this, he's basically looking them in the eye and saying, get a life. It's time to move on now. It's time to go the next step in your life. Quit having a pity party and just get over it. Sometimes we get so stuck in the past and God is saying, get a life. Move on. You get so stuck on what you didn't get and why it didn't happen. And I deserve that and they didn't deserve that. And you get so stuck on that, you can't see God's plan for your own life. He still has an incredible plan for your life right now. Today, why should you let what has happened in the past keep you from God's plan for your life? Because he has an incredible plan for your life. Hebrews 12:1 says this, let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. I like that word particular in there. The particular race, that means the unique race. That means the personal race, the race that is only for you. It's unlike his plan for anyone else. This plan that God has for your life individually is a plan that he had before you were even born. That's how great this plan is. You can't run a good race if you're allowing Satan to distract you with envy and regrets from the past. Psalm 139:15 says, you saw me before I was born and scheduled every day of my life before I began to breathe. Friends, do you realize that God has shaped you? He's shaped you specifically the way you are. He has made you for a unique purpose. You had an identity with God before you were even born. God knew you, had a plan and a purpose for you in his life, in this life, before you took your first breath. One of the reasons for a church is to help you discover the unique purpose that God has for your life. To help you discover your shape for serving God and others, the particular race that he wants you to run. When you get focused on God's race, his particular race for you to run, you really don't have time to envy anyone else. You're so caught up in what he wants you to do. You can't be bothered with envy because you're living your life for an audience of one. That's him. For the particular race he has for you. I remember, sorry, Erica, I'm going to pick on you twice. But I remember when Erica was in high school or junior high, and she was part of a singing group at our church. And the name of their group was Audience of One. Because it didn't matter what other people thought. They were singing for God, an audience of one. Jesus concludes this story with a shocking statement. In Matthew 20, verses 16 and then 26, it says, and so it is that many who are first now will be last then. He's talking about in heaven. And those who are last now will be first then. If you want to be great, you must become the servant of all the others. God says when we get to heaven, the tables are going to be turned upside down. All those celebrities, all those people of talent, famous people that you may envy, all the people that you may envy, he said they're going to be at the back of the line because the line in heaven is not about wealth. It's not about fame. It's not about possession and all those things. The point I believe he's making here is this. None of the things we envy on earth are going to matter in heaven. Not one of them. The things that we envy most will not matter in heaven. Not success, not wealth, not talent, not beauty, not fame, not accomplishments. None of the things we envy most on this side of eternity are going to matter one bit. Those billions and billions of years in eternity. What God's going to evaluate in your life and what God's going to reward in your life is not how much money you made, not or accomplishments or talents or beauty or whatever you have here on earth. What God is going to evaluate and reward in your life is your service to other people. Everything you have is a gift of God. Your gifts, your accomplishments, your abilities are all a gift from God. And God is going to evaluate you and what you did and what you were given. He says, if you want to be great, you must learn to be the servant of all. He'll ask, how much did you serve the people around you in love? He's not going to ask, how many businesses did you build? How big did your bank account and your IRA and your retirement fund get? He's not going to ask, how well known did you become in your neighborhood? He's going to say, how much did you serve? As we said last week, love is something you do. And the Bible tells us, serve one another in love. Service is actually love in action. So if you want to be great in heaven, and by the way, where do you want the credit in your life? The 20, 30, 60 years this side, or for billions and billions of years on that side? You can make fame the goal of your life, and you'll get it for 1 week. You may get your picture on the cover of a magazine for 1 week, and the next week somebody else is going to be on the cover of that magazine. Fame does not last in this world, so I wouldn't waste a penny or a moment of your time trying to become famous. He says, if you want to be great in heaven, excuse me, I would borrow Connie's water, but I don't watch what she has. Does it have girl germs? Oh. Are you sick, James? No. Okay. He says, if you want to be great in heaven, if you want to be great for eternity, if you want to be rewarded for all eternity, you're going to need to rearrange your priorities, to rearrange your schedule, to allow more time for serving, because that's what God's going to evaluate. Did you serve? Did you give your life away in love to help other people? So he would say, do you want to make your life count? Stop envying people and start serving them. And God says, I'm taking notice, and you're going to be rewarded eventually. Life is about serving, not acquiring. It's not about how many toys you pile up. It's not about how big a house you get. It's about, are you a lover? Are you a server? Are you like Jesus Christ and you're kind to others? And do you give your life away in service to others? You know, when you're busy serving others, you don't have time to envy them. In your weekly schedule, is there any time during your week that you're doing unselfish volunteer service? Maybe it's in the community or in the church or in a school. Anywhere that you're serving voluntarily, you say, well, I'm too busy. Yes, you are too busy. You need to change your schedule. Because when you get to heaven, you're not going to be evaluated on all that stuff that's filling your schedule right now. It's going to be on, did you learn to love? Did you serve others? We talked about this last week. Love is something you do. And Jesus said that if you want to be great, you've got to focus on this one. Don't let the master distractor use envy to get your eyes off the race that God has set before you. Because serving God and others in love is the ultimate antidote to envy. Would you pray with me? You may want to follow me in this prayer if it's your heart's desire. Just silently. Father, Heavenly Father, I want my life to be filled with love. So I ask you to help me rout out all the envy in my life and in my relationships. Help me to stop comparing myself to others. Help me to start enjoying your goodness to others. Help me to realize you don't have a short supply of grace, that there's plenty to go around. Help me to remember that I already have so much more than I deserve. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for not being grateful for what I already have. I'm sorry. When life seems unfair and it seems like other people are being blessed more, would you teach me to trust you? Realizing that you have my best interest at heart and you don't love me any less. Most of all, help me to keep focused on your unique plan for my life. I want to be exactly what you want me to be. Help me to remember that life is about relationships, not getting stuff. And help me to serve others in love instead of envying them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.